We have two readings this morning. They're both from Luke's Gospel. So we start at Luke chapter 18 and reading from verse 35. And the New International Version caption reads, "A blind beggar receives his sight." As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So now we're jumping on to Luke chapter 24, reading from verse 13, on the road to Emmaus. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you for that, Peter. And so now we're going to think about some of the things that we've read about. Over the last few weeks, we've been following a series entitled "Blessed to be a Blessing," purpose of which is to help us to find ways of being a blessing to people who we meet. And what we're doing is we're taking the letters of the word bless as an acrostic. So that last week, Tim used the letter B, first letter, and entitled his service, Begin with Prayer. This week, we're using the second letter, L, and I'm calling it listening, in the sense of listening to bless, which of course means listening to other people. Now, we're probably most familiar with the kind of blessing where we talk with people and encourage them to look on the bright side of life, and we pray with them, and we assure them that God hears their prayers, and where we offer them whatever support we can to lift them out of perhaps their crisis. And we might read an appropriate passage of scripture with them or leave them with a helpful leaflet. And hopefully the person that we've been talking to feels blessed and uplifted, blessed because we've spent time with them and given them a blessing. So why listening? How can we bless people by listening? Surely it's by doing things to them, with them, that we bless them. How do we bless by listening? The trouble is, we can so easily jump into a situation without really understanding it. We can offer advice, and it would be good advice, I'm sure, but at the end of it, the person says, you tried to be helpful to me, but most of what you said was irrelevant to my real situation. A terrible thing to happen, isn't it? You scratch the place where I'm not itching. How could we be so very helpful and yet totally miss the point? And the answer would seem to be in a tendency to jump in with words too soon before we have a full understanding of the person and their needs. I've got a little book here which I got from the Leprosy Mission, and it's got all sorts of quips in it. And somewhere in the back it says here, you've got two ears and one mouth. Be sure to listen twice as much as you speak. That's a fantastic motto, isn't it? Now, even when you do listen, it's very easy to get hold of the wrong end of the stick. There's another little quip in this book, which also tells of a vicar standing next to a young lad who was staring intently at a metal plate on the wall, the church, and the lad said to the vicar, what's this about? It's a special plaque to remember all the soldiers who died in service, replied the vicar. Well, the boy was somewhat shocked, and he quietly asked, which one, the morning or the evening service? Do get a book if you want to, Leprosy Mission, you can get it. So it's important to be a listener if you're going to bless somebody. Inappropriate advice or inappropriate help can lead to lots of frustration. He means well, but he never tells me what I need to know. Have we been in that situation? I'm sure we have at times. The worst case scenario, and the person feels rejected because they haven't been heard properly. Now, I have a friend who is a vicar who has considerable pastoral skills, and I watched him as he talked with us one day. And I noticed that he gave us his whole attention. And he reflected back to us what we told him. And after a while, we got the impression that he fully understood everything that we had told him. And for us, that was a very liberating experience, even before any advice had been meted out. Now, you will have noticed that Jesus quite often would end a parable or saying by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. Would you believe it? It comes at least 23 times in the New Testament. So it might just be important. Listening features quite a lot in our Bible readings today. As Jesus and his disciples were about to enter the city of Jericho, they came across a blind man. But the story begins when the blind man detected an unusual excitement in the crowd around him. He could hear that something was afoot. Should he keep out of the way or should he find out what was going on? So the blind man asked, and the answer gave him an unbelievable opportunity. Jesus of Nazareth was coming, and he has the gift of healing. Gosh, now since I can't see, I'm going to shout for help so that I can get the chance of being able to see again. So he shouted. But the crowd, rather than hearing his cry for help, tried to shut him up. They were deaf to his shouts and actively tried to sideline him. The crowd were not going to bless him with an audience of Jesus. Oh no. They were so deaf that they could not help or assist. They wouldn't listen, and so being, they obstructed the blessing which was eventually going to come. The crowd would not listen, but Jesus heard. And it's ironic that Jesus then asked the crowd to help this man forward. The crowd had all but lost an opportunity for blessing the man because they refused to listen. And the man himself had faced rejection because the crowd were not interested in him. And sometimes we feel we go unheard or rejected. But the good news is that even if our friends and colleagues don't hear us, Jesus will. So what are the advantages gained through listening? As we look at the other part of our scripture reading, we see two despondent disciples on the way to a nearby village of Emmaus. And as they walk along, they're discussing what for them has been the most terrible Passover weekend that they have ever known. They're probably very disturbed indeed because they had high hopes that Jesus was going to change their world for them. And suddenly, over the space of a week, everything had gone wrong and now Jesus was dead. Their worldview was one of despair at this particular point. Possibly don't even notice a stranger eavesdropping on their conversation. And this stranger asks, "What are you talking about? You mean you've been in Jerusalem all weekend and you haven't heard about what happened?" Stranger replies, "What has happened?" You see, there are no assumptions made. Jesus wants to hear the story from their side. And we, in our listening, will want to remember that Jesus listened before he spoke. We need to hear the other person's story. Now, of course, we know that Jesus already knew the situation. He'd been through it himself. We might also think that we know the situation that somebody is in. But like Jesus, we need to hear from them what they are thinking. We may think we understand already, but by listening, we gain a better understanding. And while Jesus listens, they go through the whole story. He was a prophet. He was handed over to be sentenced to death. And they go on and on describing every detail. And the women went to the tomb, and so did some of the men. And the tale of woe goes on and on. And Jesus listens, and he listens some more. And while they're doing that, let's go back to the blind man. The blind man's cries fall on deaf ears, but Jesus has heard and he orders the crowd to bring him forward. Even though Jesus must have known that the man was blind and must want his sight back, Jesus still wants to hear what the man has to say. So he asks him, he gives him the opportunity to talk, and Jesus takes a moment to listen to what the man says he actually wants. And in taking the time to listen, Jesus responds with a deeper healing than might have been obvious. It's a twofold healing. Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And so the man is not only able to announce to the world, "I can see," but he responded in two other ways. He praised God and he followed Jesus. And when Jesus listened, he was able to get to the heart of the matter. And so we have a picture of opening the doors of ministry through listening. We listen to gain understanding. We listen to gain wisdom. And having done so, we're more likely to bless a person in an appropriate way. And of course, we don't just listen with our ears. We use our eyes as well to observe, because often you can see something of what a person is going through before they've even said anything. My vicar friend, when he's listening to us, he's also watching us. And he's observing, And he's fully engaged with us. And I'm sure that goes a long way towards his understanding of our problems. And sometimes as you watch someone, you can sense a problem. And if you then quietly ask, how are you today? You might get an answer which runs deeper than the usual, oh, I'm okay. There's another aspect to listening which is of vital importance if our listening is to result in a blessing. Because we need to listen to Jesus. As I said just now, my little book tells me I've got two ears and one mouth. And I know this is a bit corny, but I think one ear is for listening to the person and the other one is for listening to Jesus. Now, in the reading about the two disciples who are walking to Emmaus, you would think they were in a very privileged position because they'd actually been there when the Lord was crucified. When he had made that personal sacrifice on behalf of the whole world. And as Jesus had died, they would have heard the centurion say, truly, this was the Son of God. A very sad day, but also a day of great privilege to witness it personally. And they had been there 3 days later when Jesus rose from the tomb. Yet we realize as we listen to them talking with the unrecognized Jesus that these two highly privileged disciples had completely missed the significance of what they had been through and of what Jesus had done and achieved. The listening goes two ways. Jesus listens to them. But then comes the point when they find themselves listening to Jesus. If they had not listened at that time, they would have gone on their way in ignorance. But then as Jesus told them what the weekend had all been about, they said, it seems like our hearts were burning within us as he spoke. And as he spoke, and as they listened to Jesus, the full understanding began to dawn on them. And the evening ended with the second ever experience of communion as they broke bread together. And instead of their sadness, they were now truly blessed. And that's a picture of what happens when we bless another person. We listen to them. We listen to Jesus. And then as we pray for them that God will bless them, so their own understanding becomes healed and they're able to go on their way rejoicing. And we have seen that in the story of the blind man who received his sight because his faith healed him. And the result was that he followed Jesus and he gave glory to God. Now, sharing in the ministry of blessing people is tremendously rewarding. You get a real buzz out of doing, very satisfying, knowing that something you have done has lifted a person's spirits and brought them close to the kingdom of God. And it's a worthy ambition to become a person who is able to bless other people. And when you bless somebody for the first time and you have seen the result, you think to yourself, I can do this now. Well, yes, you have learned a certain skill, but this is not for your own aggrandizement, because the person who really does the blessing is God himself. We may be the instrument that he uses, but God is the one who really brings the blessing. And this brings us to the core of our great Christian mission, to bring people to a point where they are fully able to participate in the blessings which God longs to shower upon them. The blessing of salvation in Christ, which was finally revealed to those disciples on the road to Emmaus. And the blessing of the peace of God which passes all understanding. And for all this, we're utterly dependent upon the Father in heaven, who in his love and compassion would bless us with blessing upon blessing. Yes, we've got two ears and one mouth. We listen twice as much as we speak. One ear is for listening to somebody else. The other ear is for listening to Jesus. And it is God who gives us the blessing. Our last word comes from Psalm 16 and verse 11. You have shown me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so let us pray. Eternal God and Father, you created us by your power and redeemed us by your love. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves in love and service to one another and to you, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.